Acts 20, 17 to 38. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God, to the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship.
Well, it's my last day to preach here. We'll be here next Sunday for Andy's installation. But here's our opportunity to say goodbye. And I was thinking about that this week, these last weeks. How many ways do you have to say goodbye? Actually, quite a few, right? I mean, the normal just goodbye or God bless you. But we've got lots of phrases to say that. Take it easy. See you later, alligator. If you're Tigger saying goodbye to Winnie the Pooh, you say ta-ta for now. Fact, this is a pretty smart group. I bet you know how to say goodbye in several different languages. How do you say goodbye in Spanish? Adios. Hasta mañana. How about French? Au revoir. Adieu. How about German? Our feet are the same. That's right. How about Italian? Ciao, arrivederci. Here's a tricky one. How about in Hawaiian? Aloha, that's for hello and goodbye. And we could go on and on. You ask the Pattersons who lived 19 years in Russia, how do you say goodbye in Russia? Das vidanya? Hebrew, shalom. I'm sure there's been a study somewhere along the line, but we know more ways to say goodbye than we do hello. Why is that? Well, because saying goodbye, even though it's sometimes a little uncomfortable, or maybe we don't even notice it, it's a pretty common experience, isn't it? We say goodbye to jobs, to our cars, to our homes, sometimes if we move. Obviously, most importantly, we say goodbye to people, even if it's just see you tomorrow. So how do we say goodbye? How do I say goodbye? What can be said in a farewell sermon? Well, we don't have enough time, and I don't have enough words to say words of thanks and love and appreciation. The passage that Scott read is a goodbye passage. Paul's farewell address to a church. It's interesting. There's a lot of speeches or sermons in the book of Acts. Some of a lot of evangelistic ones where people preach the gospel to Jews or to Gentiles or a mixed audience. There's a lot of sort of defense speeches where the apostles are in front of religious authorities or a governor or a king in case of Paul. But there's only one that's exclusively to Christians. It's this one. And it doesn't happen in church. It's at the beach. It's on the seashore of the Mediterranean Sea. Paul is saying goodbye. So I want to use that just as a sort of a model to do that today. And goodbyes really are about relationships, aren't they? And so he's going to think about the relationships that he's had with these people. And so he's going to talk about the past, the present, and the future. So let me do that. He's going to talk about the past. He had spent 3.5 years with the church, at the church at Ephesus. That's, if you remember Paul, he traveled around a lot, right? He was this missionary that planted churches and moved on. Here was the longest place he ever stayed. Not really long, but long for him. And he's going to recount, and we do that when we say goodbye, right? We remember the past and the shared experiences that we've had. And so he says, you even knew my private life. You've watched me. You've seen me in action for over 3 years. My life is an open book. You've seen me. He says, you know how I lived among you the whole time. Sometimes we're with tears, humility, trials. You've seen me under all conditions. How many Christians could say, look at my life. That's how the Christian life should be. Watch me. That's what he's saying. He served even with tears. Remember, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Well, Paul has wept over Ephesus. We see his tender heart. Not only privately, but publicly. He says, you remember my public ministry of preaching and teaching. It was in public meetings, like in the Hall of Tyrannus. It was from house to house. You remember all that. I've been thinking about my ministry here, teaching and preaching. As far as I can tell, almost 100 sermons, 16 midweek meditations when we were just all online, some Christian living classes. You've seen me and heard me pray and serve communion, and we were here for 2 Christmases. And it's been a little challenging because we haven't been full-time, nor have we lived here. But we've still tried to share our private and public life with you. I've enjoyed getting to know you and walk with you, your joys and your concerns. Been to 3 weddings, 2 of which I've officiated. I've officiated at a funeral. Been here for some births of some children. And before we leave, we're getting a new church directory. Thank you, Mary, for updating that. We will we will have that so that we can stay in touch. Lots of memories. And we'll share some more a little later here. But he's thinking about the past. Well, then he's going to say, what about the present? And he says, I'm in the Lord's army. Do you know that little kid's song? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. He says, well, that's who I take my marching orders from. My commander-in-chief. I'm not the one running the show. I submit to and report to the Lord. And so he's going to talk a little bit about that. He says, well, right now, you know what? Because of that, there's no retreat for me. I'm constrained by the Spirit. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm not anxious about it. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I may even be killed there. I don't know. But notice how he puts it. Where is it? Verse 22. I'm constrained by the Spirit. I'm compelled. I'm motivated. I'm directed by God's Spirit. And I hope that's true of all of us. We're filled and directed and empowered. And notice, just a sidelight here, but the Spirit is God and very personal. It's not the force. It's not whatever. It's the Spirit. In fact, in three verses there, you've got all three persons of the Trinity. You've got the Holy Spirit, he says. And he says, verse 24, the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus, and I'm testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Well, which is it, Paul? Are you confused? Who are you following? Is it the Spirit? Is it the Lord Jesus? Or is it God the Father? And he says, yes. All three are God. Now, not three gods. No, that's not the Trinity. It's one God, but in three people here. And he's saying, when God moves, I'm going to move with him. I'm going to follow him. And that's what I'm doing. We'll get to share a little bit after the sermon here some more details. But as I've been here, I've been here part-time, but I've also served as a free church chaplain in a nursing home, also part-time. Well, I'm finishing up here, and I'm going to be full-time chaplain there. So I'm not going to quit being a pastor, just in a different context. And so, but I want to finish strong. That's what Paul's heart was, no retreat. And he says, no regrets. I've proclaimed, I've done, my conscience is clear. I've done what I needed to do, and I'm leaving on a good note, on a high note. And if any of you perish, well, it's not because I left off something or forgot to tell you something. He says, I've, verse 27, I didn't shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I gave it all, and I have no regrets. From the beginning, my commitment was to be here until the new pastor came. We didn't know who that was. We didn't know when he would come. But we do now, don't we? He's here. And so I leave with no regrets about what we're doing. You know, it was a challenge. Thanks again to the search committee who did worked hard. COVID threw a curveball into all our lives, of course. It was some challenging times. It still is. But God's been faithful, and we keep going. And yeah, there's no regrets. And so I want to keep going in that vein. So that's the present. Talked about the past, the present. All right. How about the future? You know, when we say goodbye, we sort of think about the future, right? The next time we'll see this person, hey, let's keep in touch. Hey, you know, I want to find out about how that worked out, you know, because I'm concerned about you or I'm concerned about this. So let me know. Something in the future when we say goodbye. Well, Paul's going to give three quick exhortations. First, he's going to say, beware. Remember, he's talking to the leaders of the church, but the whole church needs to know this, of course. And so he tells them, well, watch out for yourselves, you spiritual leaders. You're giving care to others, but you need to take care of yourself too. Later, Paul writes this to Timothy. Timothy traveled with Paul, but then eventually he was a pastor. Where was Timothy a pastor? In Ephesus. He's the pastor of this church. Here's what he tells Pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Watch out for yourselves, but also watch out for the church. He talks about 29, he says, now I know, you know, when I leave, wolves will come in. Two kinds, some from outside, that is from outside the church. Watch out for them, but also watch out for people in the church whose lives and conduct and doctrine isn't in line with the truth. Be careful, because wolves are going to come in and they're going to do damage. They're not physical damage, but spiritual damage. They're going to distort the truth and deny the truth and dismiss the truth. So watch out for that. That's part of a job of spiritual leaders, of elders and pastors and ministry leaders, is not only they provide for the church, but they protect the church too. And I know that Pastor Andy and the elders will continue on doing that. But he doesn't stop there. He's not like, hey, be afraid and just give up. No. Here's his second exhortation. Believe. He says, I'm commending you to God. Not to a person, not to a pastor, not to a program, but God. The leaders and the church, I'm commending them into the hands of God, to the grace of God and the word of God. I'm excited about what God's going to do here in the next chapter at NEFC. I think God has great plans, and we're primed to see some great things happen, and I'm excited to hear about it and see about it. So he says, believe, because God's not done yet. And one more word, belong. Think of the words or the metaphors or pictures that the Bible talks about when it talks about the church. Right? It talks about the body of Christ. It talks about the flock of sheep. It talks about the family of God, brothers and sisters. Those are all, we use those words. Well, those are all Bible words for what the church is all about. And this parting scene here really shows, hey, we belong together. It shows the heartwarming affection that they have. And so they kneel down and pray, and they put their arms around them, and they weep together. And then they see Paul get on the ship and presumably sail away. And sure enough, he had told them that they wouldn't see him again. Paul never went back to Ephesus. They didn't see him again. Well, people leave churches for all kinds of reasons. I think the only reason to depart a body of believers is because God's called you on somewhere else. That was true of Paul. That's true of Debbie and I. He's calling us on somewhere else. And unlike Paul, you will see us again. We'll be back sometime. Not for a while, but Scott's already said, Greg, we'd like to have you come back and preach sometime. That'd be great. But we want Andy and Caroline to have lots of time to get to know you and them to, well, for you guys to know each other. Anyway, as I think about our time here, 21 months, July would be 2 years. I came earlier to preach in June, but started officially in July. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? And who would have expected, we were talking about this just before the service, you know, last March is when COVID hit, and now here we are a year later, March. Yes, some things have changed, but no one knew what would transpire and how long things would be and what would happen. And we're still not sure. Yes, things are slowly opening up. I'm glad but kind of sad that on my last Sunday here, we finally have live worship and some food. I'm like, man, but we're getting there, aren't we? We're getting there. Well, let me just pray for us, and then I'm going to invite Scott and Rick up to kind of close off our time together. Let me pray this prayer from the Old Testament. Lord, thank you so much for NEFC and your faithfulness to them, to us. Since when we began in 1980, 20-something years ago, 40-something years ago, excuse me. Thank you that will continue. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege that you've given me and Debbie to be part of things in this chapter. And we know the next chapter will be just as great. So, Lord, I ask you to continue your work. The Lord would bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We pray in the name of Jesus, our great Savior and Lord. Amen.